Attorney General, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Mark Dreyfus and Justin Gleeson, the Solicitor General, mounted a pretty strong case that you've misled the Parliament. Why shouldn't you stand down?
Because I've not misled the Parliament. The issue here is whether there were appropriate consultations with the Solicitor General before a legislative instrument was made by me. There were consultations. The Solicitor General and I had a meeting in my office in Canberra on the 30th of November. It went for about an hour. The main topic of that meeting was this very issue. And what Mr. Dreyfus didn't say, even though he claimed to be familiar with the submission I gave to the Senate committee yesterday, is that not one, but two note takers took contemporaneous notes of that meeting, which I produced to the Senate committee yesterday. And those notes show without doubt that the matter was discussed.
Look, when discussed, we say the matter, let's be clear what matter was discussed.
The matter was the process, as the Solicitor General himself said in his letter of the 12th of November requesting the meeting, the process for briefing the Solicitor General. And it's important to remember, Fran, that this is provided for by the Act that creates the Office of Solicitor General, the Law Officers Act, which by Section 12B, which is the relevant provision, says the Solicitor General, the functions of the Solicitor General are to furnish his or her opinion to the Attorney General on questions of law referred to him or her by the Attorney General. There is no other mode under the law for the Solicitor General to provide advice on questions of law than by reference to the Attorney General, by being referred that question by the Attorney General. Now, the practice had developed lazily across government over some years that there were many matters that were being referred to the Solicitor General that were not of high constitutional importance, and many departments and agencies were acting in evident ignorance of the requirements of Section 12B of the Law Officers Act. So, and that was what Mr. Gleeson, in effect, was complaining about. So what we discussed at some length was how we would go about regularising the practice.
When you say that's what he was complaining about, his submission says something different, I believe. He says that in the meeting that he had with you, I was not given an opportunity to comment on the content of the direction. He argues it's wrong in law. That's perhaps a different point. But he says this was not discussed, this notion of a binding directive. He goes on to say that it is critically important that persons such as the Governor-General, the Prime Minister and officers of Parliament are able to approach the Solicitor-General for advice in an uninhibited fashion and in respect to questions framed by them and not by others. So it would seem odd that he was asking for you to put this limit on it when in the submission he says that it's critically important for his job that people are be able to directly to him.
I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, what this was about was regularising an administrative practice to ensure that it was in conformity with the requirements of the Law Officers Act.
Now, but you never said to him, it was never in that discussion, will you agree with me on this, you never discussed the fact that you would make this binding directive that would mean that the pre-approval of the Attorney General was required for anyone to approach him. That was never approached?
I don't accept what you're putting to me. The whole
You did talk about that?
The issue was discussed by us for about half an hour.
Yes, but when you say the issue, did you ever say, okay, I think what we need here is a legally binding direction so that I'm the only one who can direct people to you?
Well, we discussed Section 12B of the Law Officers Act, as the notes of the meeting show, and I invited the Solicitor General to put to me in writing what he proposed, and in March of this year he did so, and I took that into account as well.
But when he put that in writing, did he suggest that you should be the only one that should direct the gatekeeper, essentially, for people, including the Prime Minister, to come to him for advice?
Well, he proposed a method for briefs to be sent to him. Let me read to you his submission. Before accepting a brief to advise, the Solicitor General will notify the Attorney General of the request to ensure that the attorney is consent to refer the question of law for the Solicitor General's opinion under Section 12B of the Law Officers Act. The opinion will be provided to the Attorney General. Now, that was Mr. Gleeson's formulation of how he would have liked the rule to be. In substance, we have the same arrangement, although the request goes to the Attorney General's office directly from the department or agency seeking the advice rather than directly to the Solicitor General, who then seeks the Attorney General's consent.
Which is a significant difference because it cuts out people having the capacity to go directly and privately to the Solicitor General if they wish.
No, that's not right, because the issue is whether the Attorney General's consent, which is a formality, by the way, is required as Section 12B. We can't get around, Fran, the requirements of Section 12B of the Act. So what this argument is about the best way to put into administrative practice a method of ensuring that all departments and agencies are compliant with Section 12B of the Law Officers Act. The Attorney General's consent is a matter of formality, and on every occasion since, when a request has come to me to approach the Solicitor General, I have agreed to it as a matter of formality.
Attorney General, is the more important issue here perhaps, and I don't know whether this was why the Solicitor General initially requested a better system, is because he came to you and he said he wasn't consulted, and he said in this submission he wasn't consulted about the final draft of the counterterrorism laws stripping dual nationals of their Australian citizenship, and he took issue with you after you told the Parliament he'd advised there was a good prospect the law would withstand High Court challenge.
Well, the Solicitor General was consulted throughout the process.
He says early on in the process, not later in the process.
Well, during the process, I will this morning check the chronology of events and the various iterations of advice.
He said in this letter he had not been asked for advice on the version of the bill introduced into the Parliament after advising on earlier iterations.
What I'm saying to you, Fran, is that as you will recall, this was an issue of very significant political controversy in the late days of the Abbott government. It was an issue, to be blunt, on which the Cabinet was divided between, on the one hand, me and Mr. Turnbull and Julie Bishop and others, and on the other hand, the then Prime Minister, Mr. Abbott, and Mr. Dutton, who was then the responsible minister, as to how extensive the power of executive detention should be and whether the issue that power should be exercisable over dual citizens or people who were only Australian citizens. And there were many, many chapters to this political controversy during the course of which Mr. Gleeson was involved from time to time.
And you told the Parliament that reassure people that he had advised there was a good prospect this law would withstand High
That's
Court
correct.
Challenge.
That's correct.
And he is challenging the fact whether he even gave that advice on the law as it stood at the end.
That is correct. And that phrase that I've used was in my letter to Mr. Dreyfus in his capacity as a member of the Parliamentary Joint Committee on Intelligence and Security. The PJCIS recommended some minor amendments to the bill, which the government adopted, which didn't go, in my view, to constitutional issues.
This is a remarkable, possibly unprecedented feud, isn't it, between the two top law officers of the Commonwealth? How can you work together?
Well, we do work together. We work together.
Are you sidelining him for the Australian government solicitor?
No. Mr. Gleeson and I have worked together now for more than 3 years. I have a very high regard for him as a lawyer. We have worked together on a number of complex matters. As recently as last month, I met with Mr. Gleeson to discuss Australia's case in The Hague in the international arbitration between Australia and East Timor over maritime boundary delimitations, a very complex issue. So notwithstanding that there is a difference between us on the matters of which on which you have been asking me from a professional point of view, we have never had a cross word.
Just finally, Attorney General, and briefly, if you would, we are out of time, but you're meeting with a large group of LGBTI groups today to discuss the plebiscite. It is unlikely they're going to agree with you on any plebiscite, but if they indicated that are willing to compromise to get rid of public funding for the yes and no camps, for instance, and a self-executing bill, would you agree to that?
Well, I'm not obviously going to anticipate on your program this morning what may or may not be said in a meeting later in the day, but I simply make the point that I've made throughout. I understand, I get it very clearly, that the LGBTI community does not favour a plebiscite. But the LGBTI community does favour marriage equality. And having taken a proposal for a plebiscite to the last election, and knowing what the state of public opinion is, that is about 2-1 in who would vote in favour of Marriage Act reform, were there to be a plebiscite. This is the most credible and, frankly, the only available path to having this matter resolved in the short term.
Okay.
Now, it comes down to this basic issue, Fran. What is more important, the end or the means? I think the end is more important. And if the plebiscite bill passes, I'm sure the plebiscite will pass. And if the plebiscite passes, we will have marriage equality in Australia in February of next year.
All
right. People who care about marriage equality, as I have come to care about the issue, should, I think, be pragmatic and say, well, this mightn't have been the method we preferred, but we are going to get our outcome a lot sooner by going about it this way.
Attorney General, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
George Brandis is the Attorney General. It's 3 minutes to 8 on Breakfast.